please take your Bible and turn to the book of James, James chapter 4. We've been in James for some time now, just preaching verse by verse by verse, and so it is good. I like doing that because you may be here today saying, well, you just preaching that just because I showed up. Well, no, I've been preaching through the Word of God, and it brings conviction on all of us. Just know that you're in good company if you feel convicted by the Word of God. And so I think it's good. If you recognize James in chapter 1, it's about patience and perseverance. Chapter 2, about partiality and division. And then chapter 3, you may not remember last week, about the power of the tongue. But then this week is problems in our relationships. And so he's going to speak about war and conflict. And so let me read to you out of the book of James, James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou be a judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is therefore one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word that brings conviction and guidance. Lord, I pray that we would just take these things to our heart today, that we would be a people that would turn away from our sinful lust and desires, but that we would be fully focused on you, that we would submit, that we would just be found faithful. Lord, I pray for me, Lord, that you would remove my iniquities, my shortcomings, my failings, my distractions of my past. Let me think clearly and with a clear conscience, saying those things that need to be said. And Lord, I pray that you would use that in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said, to live above with the saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, brother, that's a different story. Now, I kind of like that because sometimes we deal with people around us that, man, their heart, even though they're saints of God, there's going to be fights and wars and conflicts. And I'm just telling you, in our life today, I don't know of anybody that has not had some type of family conflict, some type of church conflict. Sometimes they're just fighting and things that go on. Let me quickly say, I think things are going great here. I don't know of any of you that are in a church conflict right now where there's fightings and things going. I'm thankful for the last 25 or so years that, man, it has been good in the house of God here at Sardis. But let me also say, be careful, be aware, because problems can seep in. And if we're not careful, we will be fighting among ourselves. And so James speaks about that, how we should be faithful and not fight. So he says, whence comes wars and fightings among you? And so let me just tell you a few things that cause fightings and conflicts in your families, in your church house, in your businesses. And so I think the Bible answers all those, and we'll pull those out this morning, recognize and apply them to our life. And man, hopefully you'll live a life with less conflict than you have now. So notice some things, and let me just apologize. I didn't get a chance to really put in a defined outline, but gave you some just the main points. Number one, when we have a jaded heart, notice verse 1 again. He's going to use two words in verse 1 and verse 2 about, in the King James, the word lust. So it says in verse 1, whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your lust that war in your member. That word lust there is hedonon. It's the same word we get hedonism from. It's the idea of wanting pleasure above anything else, seeking pleasure above all else, seeking pleasure with disregard, especially for God. It is a desire that's not centered in the will of God. In other words, we'd say today, it is the thought that it is, if it feels good, do it. That's the first word. In verse 2, it says, ye lust and have not. That is epithumio in the Greek. That is a longing for. Now, that can be a good longing or a bad longing. You can long for good things. Matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, but covet or long earnestly for the best gifts. And so there's some good things we ought to desire. But when you put these two together, we recognize it paints a picture of lusting or longing or desiring for the wrong things. And so let me tell you some problems with that. One, a jaded heart produces a desire that does not fulfill. A jaded heart produces a desire that does not fulfill. He says in verse 2, ye lust and have not. Wrong desires will leave you empty. You may think it's good at the moment. You may think it's fun and fine and wonderful. But sooner or later, conflict will enter in. Think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had this idea. They lived in a perfect place. They had all their needs met. But there was one prohibition, one thing they could not do, one thing God said, don't do, and that is eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. And so we find something happens when you read Genesis chapter 3. Eve is speaking with Satan. And it says, for God does know that when you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, the devil was saying, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so notice what happened. Verse 6 says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it to her husband, and he did eat too. And so we have this great story about God says, here's what I've given you, everything, but don't do this one thing. And yet we find Eve rationalizing and saying it is okay to do. And so, again, she said, it looks good, it sounds good, it must be good, and so she partakes of that. That is the same sins we find ourselves today in. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but of the world. And so you may be here today, and God has given you so much, and yet he has given you a prohibition, a thing he says, don't do. And so for you, it may be maybe an affair outside of your marriage. I'm just going to speak to you clearly today. It may be a relationship that God says, no, do not do that. It may be an alternative lifestyle, and you think, well, love is love, and if I want to do this, that's fine. Let me tell you got to be careful, because God is clear about what is right and what is not. You may rationalize and say, well, I was born this way, and I want to do what I want to do, and I don't care what God wants. I'm telling you, you're on the danger of causing trouble in your life if it's not already. And so before you begin to knock everybody else and say, well, those guys or these people, let me remind you what Paul says about all of us in Ephesians 2, because we all have some desires that we should not have. He says there in Ephesians 2, 3, among whom also we had all our conversations in past time in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature were the children of wrath, even as others. And so let me just, we're all in good company this morning. We've all had a desire that is not right. God's saying, don't do that, because if you do that, you're going to be in great conflict with family and friends and everything. Just be aware. Paul speaks about his own life in chapter 7 of Romans. He basically says in chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, in chapter 7, it says, speaking about Paul, says, well, the things I tell others not to do, that's the very things I do sometimes. And the things I tell people to do, that's the very things I don't do sometimes. What am I saying? I'm just trying to tell you we all have issues that we ought to submit to God and turn from those things. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and these are contrary to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. So how do you overcome some of these things? I'm going to really speak about that at the very end. To answer the problem of wrong lusting or wrong desires, Galatians 5:16 says, this I say, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So a jaded heart produces desires that do not fulfill. They will leave you empty. Again, it may be fun for a while, but sooner or later it leaves you high and dry. But also a jaded heart produces death. He says, you lust and have not, ye kill and desire. Now let me just tell you, our wrong lust may kill. I think about David and Bathsheba. You probably don't really think about all the things that David and Bathsheba did and what it produced there. You say, well, it did kill Uriah, because if you remember the story, David looks at Bathsheba, said, man, you better bring that girl here. And then she gets pregnant, and so David tries to cover up, has her husband brought forth, tries to get trick him to go with her. He does not. And lo and behold, he sends him back into battle and says, put this guy in the front of the line and let him be killed. Not only did Uriah die, but his buddy Abimelech died and many others. That thing which he did, which was wrong, caused death to others. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes it causes a physical death when we do things we should not do. But more likely, it causes a spiritual death or it causes a death in our relationships. You say, oh, that could never happen in our church. I'm telling you, we're only just a drop away from somebody being selfish, starting an argument that has nothing to do with the power of God and His mission and His glory. I hear all the time about people saying, I know a church that got mad about the color of the carpet. They couldn't decide, so one half of the church had yellow carpet and the other side had brown carpet. Oh, my goodness. Selfish desires cause things such as that. Here's what the psalmist said. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. So let me ask you, do you have a heart that lusts after the things of God that God said don't do? What are you longing for that pushes God and others away? Is there anything, even so-called good things, that you put before the Lord? I'm telling you, they won't please for very long. Notice the second thing. Not only do we have a jaded heart, but we offer junk prayers. When we offer junk prayers, our prayer life will determine much when it comes to our relationships with others and with the Lord. Our prayer life will determine much when it comes to our relationships and with the Lord. Notice first, there was a failure to pray. He said this, yet ye have not because you ask not. We are called to pray about everything. If you remember the book of Philippians chapter 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. How about Colossians? Chapter 4, verse 12, Ephesus, who is among you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. And then later on in James, chapter 5, he's going to say this in verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray for another, and that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we need to recognize that sometimes we fail to pray about what God desires for us to do. We fail to pray and ask God, is this what I need? Well, let me ask you, if you don't start with prayer, if you don't have a bended knee, battles will follow that you do not want. Do you need something? Pray about it fervently. Need a job? Pray. Need a spouse? Even Dennis got a spouse. Amen. Prayer works. I like what Thomas Fortner used to say. There's a jack for every Jill. We just need to pray about it. Amen. Sometimes we don't get what we need because we fail to pray, because we know what we're pursuing is not of God. Sometimes we don't pray about it because we know God says this is not what you need. So there's a failure to pray, but also there's a failure to pray for the right things. Verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And so sometimes I see people praying for things they have no need for, really, when it comes to the great plan of God. Matter of fact, sometimes on TV, you can turn on and see the TV preachers. There was one guy praying for a $6 million plane because he thought it would help him on his mission. A private plane, $6 million. I'm telling you, he may have gotten the plane, but I don't think it was from the Lord. I may be wrong. So how to pray? Somebody used the ACTS acronym there. A is for adoration. You ought to praise God. C is for confession. You ought to confess your sins. T is for thanksgiving. You ought to thank Him for what you already have. And then S is for supplication. Ask Him after you've already done that. Pray for your family. Pray for this. Pray for that. Ask God what you need, and God will deliver. So let me ask you, do you have a need in life? Have you prayed about it fervently? Maybe you haven't prayed about it because you know the Lord doesn't want you to have it. Maybe you have prayed fervently and the Lord said no. Be thankful and count your blessings when He's already supplied what you need. Here's the third thing. Not only when we have a jaded heart and when we offer junk prayers, but thirdly, what brings conflict? When we join ourselves in wrong relationships. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so the world is all about relationships. In the Old Testament, when the people of God, Israel, joined themselves with other nations that worship different gods, God called them an adulterous nation, called the people of God an adulterous people. And so the same thing today, when we turn from God and seek the things of the world, when we're trying to find success and fulfillment in worldly relationships rather than godly relationships, we make ourselves an enemy of God. Now, you may not like that thought, but that's not my words. That is the word of God. And so we need to recognize that we will need to please God rather than man. Paul writes in Galatians 1:10, and let me just kind of pull this out. He says, "For do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For yet if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul just simply says, you have a choice, either to please God or please man. And so I'm telling you, there's a big divide between the two. And I found when you please God, all that other stuff simply works itself out. And so what about our relationships? Are they godly or not? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with the unrighteous? And what communion has light with darkness?" So be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It may be business partners with unbelievers. I'm telling you, your godly convictions will go against their ungodly convictions. And sooner or later, you're going to have some issues. Friendships. You say, well, I want to have a good range of friends. And you should. You should be amongst the world and sharing the gospel of Christ. But don't let your intimate friends that influence you be ungodly people. Hang around those people that will encourage you and keep you accountable. Remember the old saying, if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. That's what he's saying. Our friendship matters most. How about marriage? You want to marry somebody that's not a believer, man, you're going to have trouble in life. I know sometimes that works out. I understand that. But you will have some problems in life. Joining yourself with unbeliever in close relationships will cause you to be in conflict with the unbeliever or conflict with the Lord. So let me ask you, are you in a godly relationship? If not, the chance of being a conflict is much more. Are people that you hang around with, are they leading you to the Lord or leading you away from the Lord? Join yourselves in right relationships and you will have less conflict. Number four, not only when it's a jaded heart or junk prayers or joining ourselves in wrong relationships, but when we jettison the scriptures. Verse 5 says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain?" Now, we don't know exactly what scripture he's talking about. He didn't say Hezekiah 9:7 or something like that. We don't know what scripture it is, but we do know this, that he says that you're taking the scriptures in vain. You're saying that it is worthless. And so we just know that James is telling them to heed the word of God, not push it away, not turn their nose up at it. And so if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. If we don't take the scripture for what it says, we will have a mess in our lives. So let me ask you, have you failed to read the Word of God? If you fail to read the Word of God, you won't know what's in there. Let me just tell you, you can't get all you need in just a few minutes up here on Sunday morning. You cannot. But I'm telling you, if you'll read it, God will use that in your life. Not only do we fail to read, but sometimes we fail to heed. Maybe you don't believe what it says. And I know there's some difficult passages. I understand that. But sometimes we just got to understand and take it by faith and believe. And so let me just say, you may think, well, that wasn't for those days and not today. I'm telling you, the Word of God is eternal. It always, always makes a difference. The Lord has called us to heed the Word of God. He reminds us in verse 5 that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lust at the end of it. He just reminds us about ourselves by the Word of God. That the Word of God tells us that we are wicked, we are sinful, we are not good. Without that Word and the Spirit to change us, we'll stay the same. The Bible warns us about ourselves. We are not good, that we need God. So the proverb writer says this: "Apply thy heart into instruction, and thy ears into the word of knowledge." The psalmist said in chapter 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." What is that wisdom? Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. Most of our battles in church would dissipate if we read and believed the Word of God. Let me say that again. Most of our battles in church would dissipate if we read and believe the Word of God. Most of our battles in our homes would go away if we read and heeded the Word of God. So let me ask you, Are you reading the Word of God on a regular basis? Are you heeding the Word of God and doing what it says? Life is better when you do it His way. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Not only conflicts come from a jaded heart and junk prayers and joining ourselves to wrong relationships and jettisoning the Scripture, but when we exhibit a jabber mouth, that's the only J word I could come up with, amen? And so when we just run our mouth, well, we should not speak about these things. When we just say things we should not, and I preached a sermon last week about the power of the tongue and how that causes so many issues. But notice verse 11, it says here, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Let me say that again. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. And so we add this idea, when we speak evil, it is not good. Matter of fact, when he says speak evil, it is kataleo. It means to slander. And it means to say negative things in a way that brings others down. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. Paul says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. Let me just say, we usually speak evil of others to bring them down a notch. We usually say, I love Brother Paul, but, and then we add that little bit to bring him down, which you could say a lot of but about me, amen. But we say that to maybe our political opponents or those that are in leadership in other churches or this place or that place. We slander because we want to bring them down a little bit to our own standard. He says, don't do that. Don't do these things. And by the way, you know, you live in Union County, it will get back to that person sooner or later. It will. And so we're reminded not to slander. And so, again, we want to make them less esteemed to build ourselves up. Can I tell you this? Sometimes hard words come from hard hearts. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 15, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. He says again in Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can you be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. You say, well, I'm right. I need to say these things in our heart. There are times when we need to be critical. I understand that. But they always should be done out of love. There are times that we got to be hard. I understand that. But do we speak in the right way? And so we slander our brothers and sisters in Christ when we speak evil. But it doesn't stop there. Notice what he says, speaking evil of the law. Let me read verse 11 again. Speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judges brother, and speaketh evil of the law. And so not only are you slandering your brother, but you're slandering the Bible. What a shame it is when we slander each other, and we're called to be Christians. And by the way, the Bible says, they shall know you because you have loved one another. And they sit back and they say, oh man, look how they hate each other in the house of God. You want to slander the Bible? Slander your brother. You want to slander the Bible? Tell others how sorry the people that you go to church with are. You want to slander the Bible? Why not give it to God and let God change things and make it right? Instead, when we have somebody in our midst that is downtrodden or overtaken in a fault that has issues, all of us do. My issue may not be your issue, and your issue may not be their issue, and their issue may not be his issue, but we all have issues that we work through. Here's what the Bible says instead of slandering. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so how about not slandering today, but lifting up your brother? Yes, there's always a word that needs to be shared about if you're going in the wrong direction, change. I said last week, if the bridge was out and you were headed toward the bridge, fixing to cross in Alachua County, which I'd try to stop you from going there anyway, but if the bridge was out, I would say stop. It's going to be bad if you keep going that way. And so speak it out of love where people understand you're not trying to slander them or put them down, but simply give correction that may have this right path that God desires. So how do we overcome all these things? How do we deal with the sins that he has just mentioned? Well, let me give you quick three things. One, submit to the Lord. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Run to God this morning if you have these issues. and resist the devil. Run to God this morning and resist the temptations you are facing. Run to God this morning and not your will. Submit to God. That's the first step, recognizing God's grace is abounding. God is ready to give that and submit to Him. Secondly is repent. The Bible says, again, in verse 8, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Then He says this, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded. He's saying, quit trying to live for the Lord and quit trying to live for the world at the same time. You cannot live for both at the same time. Matter of fact, when Samuel was speaking, or Elijah was speaking in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah came to the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. I'm just telling you, He wants you to turn. He wants you to get past those things. And then look what He says in verse 9 of chapter 4, James. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into heaviness. Does the Lord want you to be a sour saint? No. All through Scripture, it speaks about the rejoicing and the joy that God desires. But I'm telling you what He's saying here. Don't celebrate sin. Don't celebrate your wickedness. Don't celebrate the things that you think are better than God's. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. In other words, let your life recognize your sin and turn from that. I'm just telling you, yesterday I was driving down the road and I thought about when I was a teenager and some of the things that I got into. Man, not good. Anybody been like that before? Am I the only bad teenager in here? Amen. But I'm telling you, I don't celebrate that. I weep about it. I'm afflicted by it. It kills me when I think about the wasted time, the wasted things I did apart from God. That's all He's saying. Turn from those things. Paul says this in chapter 7, Romans. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The Lord Jesus. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Oh, this morning, if you're in conflict, come to Him, and He will do mighty things. Verse 10 says, humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. We sing this song sometimes, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. I'm telling you, if you're here today and you need the Lord, He is willing and ready. If you're here today and there's conflict in your life, maybe it's because of you've gotten out of the will of God. I'm telling you, He is ready to make that right. It may be conflict in your marriage. It may be conflict in your family. It may be conflict in the church. I'm telling you, there's a God, when you humble yourselves, He will lift you up. He will restore relationships. He will do as He says. I wonder what we do as He says as well. God's calling. God wants you to come. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Let me just ask you about your life as the musicians come. How about that heart of yours? Is it lusting and longing for things out of the will of God? You know it's already caused conflict. You know that in your family, in your place of work, with your friends, you know a jaded heart causes conflict. How about your prayer life? Are you praying for the Lord to do better in your life? How about those jaded relationships? You join yourselves with others you should not join, and oh, what a misery it is. Have you kept the Word of God? Have you read it? Have you tried to understand it? Have you asked God to show you what to live by? How about that mouth of yours? Quick to speak, but slow to hear. Let me just ask you, God wants you to turn from those things and turn to Him. There's that promise, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. It may be for the first time you understand God loves you and that He wants to make things better for you. And so you want to give your life to Him, submit to Him. Maybe just like these young people did today, call on Christ to save you. He surely will. No matter your past sins or iniquities, God is willing to save. Then maybe God's want to, you know, God wants you to change some things in your life. Maybe you are saved and not really doing like you should. Call on Him. Maybe you need this altar to be a prayerful person. Seek God. Maybe it's church membership day. God's calling you to join this place to to work for Him. Whatever it is, don't leave here today without doing what God wants you to do. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that does bring hurt, it does bring conviction, it does bring change. And Lord, those are never easy, but Lord, the change that You desire is much better than ours. So Lord, change us today to be more like You. Conform us to Your image. Help us to be faithful in all things. Help us to submit and draw nigh. And for the promise, we thank You that You draw nigh to us. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.